Are you glad you're saved this evening?
Amen.
Amen. It's good to be in the house of the Lord. It's good to be back here at Calvary. Good to see every one of you. I mean, y'all, I love y'all up here. I don't know if y'all know that. I think about you. I told Preacher Mark, I said, I've had Calvary on my mind for the past few days. And then lo and behold, he told me today. He said, Brother Brett, I want you to come preach. But it's good to be here. Good to have some folk from Friendly Grove here tonight. Good to see all of you in the house of the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
God's good, ain't he?
Amen.
Hey man, ain't you glad for those wounds that he just healed up? Boy, like that good Samaritan. Boy, he saw that old boy laying down there in the tomb, or in the hole. Amen. You know what the good Samaritan done? He got down there. He had compassion on him, first of all. The Bible said the priest walked by and passed him by. The Levite walked by and passed him by. But an outcast, an old dirty a Samaritan got down there, Brother Tam, where he was. He said, I don't care how nasty he is. I don't care how low down he is. I don't care how near death he is. I see some life in there. Amen. And that good Samaritan got down there where he was and had compassion. Ain't you glad for that day that Jesus came to where you was? Had compassion on you. Amen. We was dirty, Brother Mark. We was wretched. We was vile. And then Jesus saw us laying there in our low estate. He saw us dying. He saw us going to hell. There wasn't nothing good about us. But yet he loved us. Our righteousness was his filthy rags. We stunk with sin. But Jesus washed us with his own blood and made us new again. Praise the Lord. Boy, ain't you glad for that this evening?
Amen.
Isaiah said, come, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Amen. Though they be as crimson, they shall be as snow. Amen. I'm glad I'm passed from death unto life. I'm glad I've been born again. Amen. I'm glad I've been set free. The Bible said, therefore the Son makes free is free indeed. I'm not shackled down by the chains of sin anymore. Boy, the choir sung the song, I've been redeemed. One day you and I was in the hand of the devil. We was headed for hell. We was headed there with no hope. But then we met the blessed hope and he redeemed us, not with gold or silver, nor corrupt things, but by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I want you to know, if we as a church will ever realize how low down and sorry that we was before God saved us, we'd be a whole lot more grateful for the gift of salvation. My soul, I remember the night as a 10-year-old boy. I sat on a pew. I was raised in church. My granny and pa took me to church. But I sat back there. I knew I was lost. I knew I'd made a false profession. Boy, and that pride was within me. I didn't want to let it go. Well, I wanted to stay right there. I said, God, what are they going to think? I don't want to get up. I'll embarrass myself. I'll embarrass my family. Amen. But that night, amen, something got a hold of me. Amen. And it didn't turn loose. Amen, my friend. I stepped out that night and Jesus stepped in. I've never been the same since. I had a friend that took up with me, who's never left me, who's never forsaken me. I've never had a friend like Jesus. Boy, it's good preaching weather. But I want you to know tonight, not everybody that sits in the pew in the church, Calvary Baptist Church tonight, is going to heaven. Boy, I want you to know, there's a scar running in some of you. There's a wound, an open wound running in your soul tonight. And God's revealing to you that you're lost. And that you're on your way to hell. What if today was your last opportunity to get saved? What if today? What if we saw the sun set for the last time this evening? Should tomorrow dawn an end of time as we know it? Should the Lord come in the sky tonight and call his church quietly away?
Come on.
Where would you be? Oh, I imagine over in Sodom and Gomorrah, the night before, God judged them that next morning. The last sunset over Sodom, there was only one person burdened about Sodom, and it was Abraham. Boy, there was only one person, and he was burdened for his lot. He begged God, Brother Tam, not to destroy the city. He said, if you can find 50 righteous, if you can find 30, if you can find 10, he couldn't find them. I wonder tonight, when's the last time we as Christians had a burden for the lost? When's the last time that we as Christians had a burden for the lost? I want to preach tonight, and God's leading this way. I was unsure a minute ago when you was talking. I want to get up and preach something encouraging.
Come on, brother, encourage.
But I want you to know, amen. That's right. I've got to mind the Lord. This message will challenge us. Because in the day that we're living in, how many of us believe we're right on the edge of the coming of the Lord God? I believe His coming, Brother Tam, He's coming just as sure as I'm standing in this church tonight. I believe the Lord is soon to come in the clouds to call His church away. And following that,
amen,
us as God's people will stand at the judgment bar of God. The Bible said in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse number 27, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this the judgment. My friend, the Bible said Jesus is talking. He's talking to Bethesda and all of those people over there in Capernaum where He worked His mighty works. And He told them, He said, it'll be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than it will be for you. What a sobering thought that is tonight. It'll be more tolerable for that crowd that tried to lay with angels than it will be for those religious people. In the day of judgment. Let's look in the Word of God tonight. Let's look in the Word of God. I didn't want to preach this. But listen to what the Bible said. In Matthew chapter number 10. And I'll preach right here and then we'll go to the house. I won't be before you long. But this is the burden of my heart. The burden of my heart.
Come on, preacher.
For the past little while, the thought of my heart for the past little while has been for the lost.
Come on, brother.
And I wonder when's the last time we as God's people really had a burden for the lost.
On,
how many of you, not everybody that's sitting on the pews tonight is born again.
Right.
Not everybody that says, that's wearing a necktie saying amen's got a burden. You know what we've done in this last day? We've given up, Brother Tam. Our faith has gotten weak. We said, well, people's not getting saved like they used to. Must be a problem with the sinner. No, the problem's not with the sinner. The sinner's just as lost as he ever was. The problem is within us.
Come on, brother.
Our burdens have died, but our hobbies have increased.
Come on, brother.
Our bank accounts have increased. Our churches have increased. But we've decreased in our burden. We've decreased in our faith.
Come on, brother.
Amen. Look what the Bible said. The Bible said, and whosoever shall not receive you nor hear your words when you depart out of the house or the city, shake off the dust from off your feet. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. May the Lord bless these two verses we've read this evening. You may be seated this evening. I want to preach tonight on the fact that judgment is coming. Now, in the next chapter, we read that in Matthew chapter 11. We may go over there here in just a minute, but I'm going to mind the Lord. Amen. Boy, we how many times do we go to people and we go on visitation and we knock on doors, amen, and we tell people about Jesus. We say, I'm going soul winning. I'm going to tell people about the Lord. But I wonder how much time and preparation has gone into us going out. Hello? Amen. How much have we really prayed? How much have we really sought God over the lost? I thought last night as I laid there, Brother Mark, and I pray in that church service, heard one of the greatest messages on hell and judgment last night. One of the most sobering messages that I've ever heard. Amen. But my friend, oh, as I heard that message, I thought about my family. I thought about my mom and my mom. I thought about my sister. I thought about my brother. I thought about all my lost family that's on their way to hell tonight. Oh, but I want you to know, I thought, man, I'm just about the only one in my family that goes to church. As I laid on that pew right there last night and I prayed, I thought to myself, what if I'm the only one that's called out their name? What if I'm the only one that stands between my family and hell? We have done just the opposite of what Jesus has told us. He said, if they don't receive you in a city, he said, then knock the dust off your feet. I'm afraid we've made up in our mind that our lost family's not going to get saved. So we just went ahead and kicked the dust off our feet and said, it's not worth it. It's not worth the burden. It's not worth the sacrifice. It's not worth praying for them. Are y'all with me tonight? Boy, it's not worth it. You know what we're saying unto them? Amen. We're saying, just go ahead and go to hell. I don't care. I don't love you enough to tell you about Jesus. I don't love you enough to spend eternity with you. I want you to know tonight, think about this. The day of judgment, the great white throne judgment. When the Bible said, I looked, John said, and I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the books were open, and another book was open, which is the book of life. He said, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. He saw the sea give up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. He said, I saw the books open, and another book was open, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books. The Bible said, and they that didn't know God, those that rejected God, were cast into the lake of fire. You and I are going to be a witness that day. Hello? You say, preacher, you got Bible for that? Yeah, the Bible said, after the Lord comes back, and so shall we ever be with the Lord.
Right.
So somewhere between here and eternity, there's a place set. There's a throne set up. Already for the greatest and the most terrible judgment to ever take place. And that will be the great white throne judgment. Amen, my friend. If you're lost tonight, you'll be there. But you won't be there to plead your case. Amen. You won't be there. Amen, my friend, to beg your way into heaven. It'll be too late right then. It'll be too late on that day. But dear child of God, we're going to see all those people cast into hell. What if we never forgot that day? Hello? What if the tears were never wiped from our eyes? What if we forever remembered our loved ones, seeing them cast into outer darkness? When's the last time we prayed for somebody lost? We can't save anybody, but we can win souls. When's the last time we prayed conviction on somebody that was lost? Hello? When's the last time we prayed, God, make them so uncomfortable that they have to get saved? When's the last time we got sick? Boy, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Boy, when we get sick, boy, when our bank account runs low, we have no problem praying and getting under a burden.
Come on.
But what about when somebody's dying and going to hell without God? What about when somebody's on their way to hell without God, without hope? Are we interceding on their behalf? Are we talking to God on their behalf? Or are we just shrugging it off because a burden will make us uncomfortable? And by the way, a burden don't just come and go. A burden sticks with us. Amen. A burden sticks with us. A burden will keep us awake at night. Amen. A burden will burden us down, cause us to pray. I'll admit to you tonight, I don't have the burden that I need to. The Bible said in the book of Ezekiel that if we say unto the wicked man, if we tell him about his wicked way, that and he rejects it, that we've been delivered from that, our soul's been delivered from that.
Right.
What the Bible said. But if we don't tell him about their wicked way, then the Bible said that the blood, it's going to be on our hands. What a tragic thought. What a tragic thought to know. I believe we ought to pray for sick folk. I believe we ought to pray for discouraged folk. I believe we ought to pray for our pastor and our churches. But what about praying for the lost? Amen. How much of our time spent is spent praying for those that are on their way to hell? I'll admit to you that my burden's not what it ought to be, nowhere near. But I'm afraid some people don't even give it a thought. We don't even give it a thought. Boy, when's the last time? I've heard these preachers talk about the old days. About people coming in off the street, getting born again. I've heard them talk about, boy, seeing all these lost people get saved. Seeing these drunks get saved. Some of you tonight used to be drunks. Some of you used to be drug addicts. Some of you used to be whoremongers. But God redeemed you and He saved you. But when's the last time? We've seen it on that fashion. Because there is coming a judgment. One of these days, I've got 3 points I'll give you and then I'm done. Amen. Look with me what the Bible said. Look with me what the Bible said. In chapter 11 of Matthew, verse number 21. Woe unto thee, Chorazin. Woe unto thee, Bethsaida. For if the mighty works which were done in you had been done in Tyre and Sidon, they would have repented long ago in sackcloth and ashes. But I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Tyre and Sidon in the day of judgment than for you. And thou, Capernaum, which are exalted unto heaven, shall be brought down to hell. For if the mighty works which had been done in thee had been done in Sodom, it would have remained unto this day. But I say unto you that it shall be more tolerable for the land of Sodom in the day of judgment than for thee. Judgment is coming. We as God's children are a judgment-bound people. First of all, I want to tell you this. There is going to be some judgment on our works this evening. Hello. There's going to be judgment on our works. The Bible said, now you say, preacher, we're not saved by works. No, we're not. But faith without works is dead, ain't it? Amen, my friend. For by grace are we saved through faith, and that not of ourselves. We're not saved by works. Amen. But we are called unto works. Amen. Amen. And part of our work, part of our job is to tell the lost about Jesus. Amen. Part of our job is to tell the lost about Jesus. Is to have a burden for somebody that's dying going to hell. I want you to know this evening. Amen, my friend. The Bible said, Jesus said, He said, I must work while it's yet light, for the night cometh when no man can work. Amen. The Bible said, the fields are white with harvest, but the laborers are few. You see, Satan has tried to distract the church in this day that we're living in by getting our eyes off of Him. Amen. By getting our eyes off of sinners. Amen. I want you to know, where's our burden? Amen. If we had more of a burden, there's no doubt we'd see more people saved. You say, well, that's the preacher's job, to have a burden for the lost. He can't bear it on his own. Amen. You've got to hold his arms up. You've got to help him. Amen. If people don't get saved, it's not the preacher's fault. Amen. It's the church's fault. You say, preacher, are you serious? Is it really the church's fault? Have we let down our guard that much? Boy, I'm flesh just like you are.
Come on, brother.
I live in the... Hey, if the church falls, it's not the pastor's fault, by the way. Because he's one man. Boy, we're to have a burden for the lost. That's what the Bible said. Boy, the Bible said, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. They shall doubtless come again. They shall bring their sheaves with them. If we sow in tears, we're going to reap in joy, Brother Casey. How many tonight's got lost family? Raise your hand. We've everyone got somebody in our family that's lost. We've everyone got somebody that's on their way to hell. I'm preaching to myself tonight. I've tried to get away from this message all day, Brother Chris. Brother Mark, I've tried and I can't. I wanted to come in here and shout and preach encouraging. Amen, but I've got to mind the Lord. Amen, because He told me to tell you this, that our burden is not what it ought to be. It's nowhere near what it ought to be. Amen, boy. I'm not much of a preacher tonight, but I serve a big God. Amen. Amen. I'm not much tonight, but I'm just going to throw it out like God gives it unto me. Amen. My friend, the Bible said over in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 10, what we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. I believe we'll stand there on that day of judgment, Brother Mark, with bowed heads. Amen. Because we were ashamed to tell the lost about Jesus. I believe we'll stand there with broken hearts. Amen. Because we didn't love Him and we didn't love His Word like we are to. And we'll stand there with bloody hands because we didn't carry more souls into the kingdom of God. I want you to know it's time we get broken before an almighty God. Amen. Sure, I know we've got troubles on every hand. I know we've got problems. I know we've got sickness. Amen. But what about the lost? What about the sin sick? Amen. I'm afraid a lot of times we get more burdened over the law, over the sick than over the sin sick. One of these days, there's coming a judgment. Where everyone in this church tonight, I can't get away from the sinners. I want to talk about other works, but I can't get the lost off my heart tonight. I can't get the sinner off my heart tonight. Amen. I can't get them off my mind. Boy, I wonder, not only will we be judged for our works, but we'll be judged by our sins. Hello. Not in the next life, because we can't carry our sins over to the next life. But we'll give an account in this life. But I want to ask us this question. What is our life before sinners? What is our life before the law? Are y'all with me tonight? I'm not rambling, am I? What is our life before the lost? How much of a testimony are we leaving given unto them? The Bible said if our gospel be hid, it be hid to them that are lost. Jesus said, you're a light. You're set on a hill. He said, don't put a cover over your light. He said, but just let it shine. Let your light so shine before men. Amen, my friend. And if Jesus is shining on us, that light will have no problem reflecting off to a lost sinner. But I wonder how many people will go to heaven because of our testimony down at the grocery store. How many people will go to heaven because of our testimony down by the job site? How many people will we bring into heaven? Amen. Boy, the songwriter said, must I go in empty-handed? And my dear Redeemer me, not one soul with which to bring Him. Not one trophy to lay at His feet. Oh, my soul. How are we making a difference in other people's lives? Are we making a difference? Are we telling them about Jesus not only with our words, but with our life, with our actions? Because every day that we live, every day that we breathe, we're preaching a message. We're preaching a message, and the world's watching. The sinners are watching. We're going to be judged by our works one of these days. We're going to be judged by our sins in this life, Brother Justin. Those things that we may have covered up, God is going to reveal it. He might not reveal it to everybody, but He may reveal it unto us in judgment. The Bible said, be sure your sins will find you out. What if? What is our life? What is our attitude before the lost? Well, there's been a lot of times in my life, Brother Tam. Let me just get personal tonight. I've got a little brother, Brother Martin. He's 20 years old. We took him to church. My family's not real big into church. Not anymore, not since my granny and pa went on to glory. But we took my little brother every Sunday, Brother Tam. And boy, he looked up to his big brother, Brett. Preacher brother. He idolized me. I'll never forget one Sunday morning. I was in a bad place. I was full of pride is what it was. He always said, I want to be a preacher when I'm 14 like you are, Brett. One Sunday we were sitting in church, sitting on the front row. He was sitting with me during the time of invitation. He reached his little hand up. He was about 7 or 8 and pulled on my coattail. I thought, what's he want? Brother Tam, I ignored him. You can polish your halo if you want to. But with our lack of a burden, our lack of praying, that's what we do. We ignore them. Boy, he pulled on my coattail again. I thought, I don't want to go to altar and pray with him. I don't know what he wants. I didn't know he wanted to get saved. I ignored him that day. Now he's drinking. On some drugs, because I didn't have the burden that I needed to as a young preacher. I'll never forget one evening, and I don't say this to be funny. One evening we took him snipe hunting, Brother Tam. We was going to play a little joke on him down in the woods. And we took him down there. And it got dark, and we painted a big story up for him. We got him out there, and we walked away from him, went and hid in the bushes. But all of a sudden, I heard a cry coming out there. Boy, he was saying, Brett, where'd y'all go? I'm afraid. It's dark out here. Where'd y'all go? I don't like this. And he began to weep and cry, and my heart broke. My heart broke, Brother Mark. And I said, we got to stop this. We got to stop this now. I can't take any more. We run over there and got him, and I grabbed him up, and I said, it's all right. But you know what? One of these days when he stands before God, if he rejects Christ in this life, I'll look down through that, I'll look from amongst that multitude that can't be numbered, and I'll see him standing down there. I'll hear his cry before God. I'll hear him look, he'll look at me, and he'll say, why didn't you pray with me that day? Why didn't you pray with me that day? My heart will break, Brother Mark, even more so than it did that night down by the river. But there'll be nothing I can do at that time. I won't be able to run up and grab him and say, it's all right. I won't be able to tell him, I'm not going to let nothing get you. I'm not going to let nothing hurt you. Because it'll be too late by that point. I wonder tonight how many of us has got a story like that. How many of us have got a family member that we love. And one of these days we're going to look down. And they're going to look across that multitude. And they're going to look at us between Buck and Bill. And they're going to say, why didn't you tell me about Jesus? Why didn't you pray for me? Why didn't you love me? Why? But it'll be too late. We let our pride stop us. I've got a mama that's on drugs tonight. You know what keeps me from witnessing to her? Pride. I've got a sister tonight that's gone left, gone the way of the homosexuals. She don't want to hear nothing about God. What have I done to make a difference? Has my attitude, has my life reflected Jesus, or have I always reflected a bad attitude? Have always been too proud to pray with them. Too proud to teach them how to pray. Boy, you say, Preacher Brett, that's, you're an awful person. You're an awful person. Well, I've been wrong before. But we've ever won. We've ever won, got that family member. that we've neglected to pray for, those family members? Will we intercede on their behalf? Will we stand, us as God's people? We are to stand at the gates of hell with our arms outstretched, saying, don't go to this place. Don't go to this place. Run to Jesus. Run to Jesus. He's better than this place. But we're too wrapped up. The preacher's got to preach. He can't get up and preach a salvation message every Sunday, because the church people don't live right. Because the church people, what us as preachers do, what we're trying to do, we're trying to get the church back to a place to pray for sinners. Trying to get an atmosphere of glory in the church so the convicting power can run. You see, if we're not careful, we'll get up and we'll hear the choir singing and we'll say, well, that'll get people saved. We'll get up and we'll hear the preacher preach and we'll say, that message will get people saved. We'll say, well, this church has been a good, outstanding church for all these years. That'll get people saved. That won't get people saved. But the Spirit of God will. Choir singing's never got anybody saved. A preacher's never got anybody saved. But God, the Spirit of God has. Amen. Amen. When we get the Spirit of God in our lives. Amen. When we say, God, we know the church can't get it done. We know the choir can't get it done. We know the preacher can't get it done. But God, we're depending on you. We want you to save the lost. We want you to convict them. I want you to know Jesus is willing tonight. God has not changed. He still wants to seek and to save that which is lost. Jesus is standing right here tonight saying, come unto me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest unto your soul. But in that day of judgment, when we see our lost family cast into hell, we're going to wish we'd done more. We're going to wish we'd loved them more. We're going to wish we prayed more. We're going to wish we'd been... I'm not talking about cramming it down their throat. I'm not talking about cramming it down their throat. I'm talking about living right. I'm talking about praying for them. I'm talking about throwing some of the goodness of God in every once in a while. What about our co-workers? People we work with every day. Do they know we're a Christian? By our attitude, by our words, by our actions... I'm not saying we've got to go around singing Amazing Grace all the time and wearing a Bible shirt that says, I've been redeemed. We don't. If we're saved, we won't have to do that. It'll just shine forth anyway. But my friend, we're going to give an account one day for how many souls are we bringing to heaven? How many people? Boy, if they was giving out money down here at the bank, they said everybody in Wilkes County comes is going to get $1 million. We'd load up, we'd tell everybody about that. But Jesus has given something more valuable than gold. He's given His own self for those that are lost. Amen. He's given His own self. Amen. So that not one should perish, but all would have everlasting life. And we're zip-lipped about Him. Tonight I want us to realize... there is a coming judgment. There's been a lot of messages preached in this church. There's been a lot of good services had in this church. But it'll be more tolerable for the world than it will be for a lot of us in the day of judgment. Because we didn't do more. Because we heard the message and yet we rejected it. Because we knew how to have... Hey, some of the older folk, you know how to have a burden for the lost. We got to teach the younger folk. Teach. And the best way to teach is to live by example. But let me say this. There's coming a judgment on our works. There's coming a judgment on our sins. The way we live in front of the lost. But there is coming a judgment for the sinner. Dear sinner friend, if you sit here at Calvary Baptist Church tonight and the Lord's dealt with your heart through this message, there is still hope for you. Amen. If you can hear that knocking, if you can hear that little voice beckoning unto you saying, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, come unto me. If you can hear that voice right there, there's still hope for you. But I wonder tonight how many folk will have sat on a church pew their whole life, make a false profession, go through the baptistry waters and wind up in a devil's hell. How many people tonight sitting under the sound of this message will wake up in hell one day with it replaying in their mind over and over again? You know what the greatest cap off, you know what the greatest encouragement for this message tonight would be? Somebody to get born again. Amen. Not somebody to come weep the way down to the altar, but somebody to get born again. I want us to know tonight there is a coming judgment. Jesus made a way so that everybody could go to heaven. Jesus gave it all. He died. The just died for the unjust. Amen. The righteous for the unrighteous. The holy for the unholy. For somebody as low as you and I, Brother Chris. I don't care how bad you've been this evening. I don't care how low down you are. God loves you and He wants to save you. Amen. Just like you and I, before we got saved, we was in that pit, Brother Tam. We was down there. We was dying. The church couldn't help us. The law couldn't help us. But Jesus could. There's some of you tonight that's got a void in your heart that cannot be filled. And you're wondering what's missing from your life. My Lord. Somebody in this church tonight's got a void in your heart. And you can't feel it and you feel like something's off. I'm going to tell you what's off. I'm going to tell you what's missing. It's Jesus. Jesus. It's Jesus. He's the answer to all of our problems. And He wants you tonight. You say, well, preacher, I've went down to the altar. I've prayed a prayer. I've been baptized. That won't get you to heaven. Salvation's not what you do for Jesus, but it's accepting and trusting what He done for you and what He done for me. That's salvation tonight when we trust in the Lord. Amen. When we lean on Him, solely on Him, 100%. And give it all. Sinner friend, you say, I'll get saved at another time. At a more convenient season. You'll never find a more convenient season than right now. Because the Bible said in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in verse number 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, today is the day of salvation. That accepted time is now. That appointed time is now when the Holy Spirit's dealing with you to come to this altar and get born again by the grace of God. You say, preacher, I'll do it at another day. You may not have another day. We're not promised another second. Because the sun of life is going down. And eternity is fixing to dawn. The Bible said there'll come a day when you'll seek me early and you won't find me. But I'll laugh at your calamity. Dear sinner friend, one of these days, if you keep rejecting God, and rejecting God and turning Him off and turning the message off and saying, I don't have to listen to that. That preacher's crazy. I don't have to listen to that. You'll turn it off one last time. And you'll close your eyes to go to sleep one night. And you'll wake up in hell because you rejected God. You rejected His Son. You walked over His blood. And by the way, you say, well, I'll just get saved on my deathbed. What if the Spirit of God's not dealing with you on your deathbed? You say, preacher, are you trying to scare us tonight? No, I'm just trying to tell you, amen, that there's a heaven to gain and a hell to shun. I'm here tonight not to beat you down, but to tell you that Jesus died so you wouldn't have to die. That Jesus took your hell so you wouldn't have to go to hell. He was laid with many stripes so that we would not have to bear the scars of sin. Amen, Jesus paid it all. All to Him we owe. You say, preacher, how do I escape this awful place called hell? How do I escape it? Amen. Through and by the blood of Jesus Christ. The songwriter said there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. I want you to know, praise God, the blood. There's enough blood to save the wickedest sinner. Amen. There was enough blood to save a little old lost 10-year-old boy. Amen. That went to church every time the doors were open. And there's enough blood to save you. And there's enough blood to save anybody that wants to be saved. There's enough blood. There's enough blood. Dear child of God, there's enough blood to forgive us of our sins. 1 John 1:9. If we'll confess our sins unto Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But if you've heard this message tonight and you reject it, it would have been better for you to stay at the house. It would have been better for you to have been in bed sick with the flu than to hear this message and reject it. Because, dear children of God, we're responsible. We're responsible. We're accountable for this message now because we've heard it. What are we going to do with it? What are we going to do with the message? What are we going to do with our burden? You say, preacher, you rambling? No. No, I'm just trying to tell somebody about Jesus. Hey, man, I'm just trying to tell us as God's people, it's time we wake up. Amen. And it's time we get a burden. Because the burden we've carried is not sufficient. I can say this, the burden I've carried is not sufficient. Some of you may have a burden like you need to have tonight. But you pray for me because I need a greater one. Dear sinner friend, Jesus loves you tonight and He wants to save you. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Amen. Sister Macy's coming to the piano. Whatever song she's got on her heart.
We're going to mix this up a little bit, Macy. I want Brother Brett to go to the piano. Brother Brett's plugged in as much as anybody in this service tonight. And I'm going to ask him, if you will, to switch him from the lapel mic to the mic at the piano, whichever one that it is. And I want him to play, and I want him to sing the altar call tonight, whatever that altar call song would be on his heart. Brother Brett, God has got you here tonight for this service, and I believe you've got this song. I do. I believe that. As we stand all over the house tonight, I'm opening the invitation to whosoever will. I myself am going to go down there, and I'm going to pray in just a second. But while he gets ready to play and he's getting ready to sing, if you're here and you're lost, there's no doubt in my mind there's going to be Christians here praying. Don't just come up and pray alone. If you need salvation, get me. Get Brother Archie, Brother John, some of these men across the front here. These preachers all the way across the front on both sides. Come to me or come to anybody and just say, hey, do like his little brother did. Tug your big brother's coattail and say, I need to be saved. Brother Brett, go ahead. I appreciate the message, but this ain't over until God says it's over. If you need to come tonight while Brother Brett sings the invitational song, anybody need to come tonight?
blessed Savior. Since He cleansed and made me whole, I will never cease to praise Him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls.
He touched the front tonight. Anybody here tonight that's lost, that hasn't been acknowledged,
the joy that floods my soul.
I'd say, pray for me, preacher. Anybody like that? Anybody made their way down to the altar?
Something happened, now I know He touched me.
Brother Brett's going to sing back around again. Anybody anywhere needs to be saved.
Since I met this blessed Savior, since He cleansed and made me whole, Him, I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me, oh, He touched me, and all the joy that floods my soul. Something happened, and now I know He touched me and made me whole.
What a powerful message to the church tonight. An eye-opening message, a heart-rending message. I'm reminded of a passage of Scripture where the Bible says to, in the book, I'll just read it. I'll go to the little book of Joel, if you will, and just for a minute, I'm not trying to extend anything, but I'll go to the little book of Joel and just read what the Lord put on my heart to read. He said these words. I believe it to be in the second chapter of the book of Joel. He said to rend your hearts and not your garments. What was the rending of garments? What was that tearing of the garment? What was that? It was a display of mourning. It was a display of disgust or inner failings and hurt. We saw David in sackcloth and ashes, tearing his garment, rending his garment because of the sin that had been committed with Bathsheba that then caused the baby wherein to die. We see others that rend their garments, but the Lord said here in the book of Joel to rend your hearts and not your garments. If our hearts ever get torn, if our hearts ever get rent, toward what thus saith the word, toward those that are dying and going to hell, we'll be a little more concerned for their eternal souls. Thank you.